The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel gives us the familiar image or analogy of Jesus as the shepherd. Might have a painting of this in your home, might have a little statue or a mental image of Jesus picking up the sheep and putting him on his shoulders and taking the one lost sheep and bringing it back to the 99. And I think that's a beautiful way to think of our Lord, but I have to be honest, for most of my life, I've always kind of disliked this image. Because in the analogy, if Jesus is the shepherd, that means I'm a sheep. And frankly, I'm not sure that there's anything very redeeming or worth imitating about sheep. They're not particularly smart animals. They're not very beautiful. So why would Jesus want us to focus on the fact that we are sheep? But I think that's an easy way to misunderstand the whole point of Jesus as the shepherd. That we oftentimes try to focus more on what it says about us rather than what it says about Jesus. And especially in this analogy, it says more about the shepherd himself than it does about the sheep. Because all throughout the Old Testament, God used this image of a shepherd to describe what the kings and leaders of God's people should be. He encouraged them or even scolded them, as we heard in the first reading from Jeremiah, to be good shepherds. And God could have used any image of a leader, of a ruler. But he always went back to this idea of a shepherd. Because at that time, the shepherd was one who literally gave up everything for his flock. I don't know about you guys, but when I first hear about a shepherd, I just think, well, that's just like a farmer or a rancher that happens to have sheep. That'd be the same as having cattle or maybe raising racehorses or, frankly, growing alfalfa. All of it sounds about the same to me. But in ancient Israel, the shepherd was a very specific job. Because yes, he had his flock of sheep, but the shepherd had to be kind of a nomad. They didn't have a home that they always went back to. Instead, they were literally always with the sheep. They would go around to different places where the grass was that the sheep could eat, and then they would sleep in a little pen, and the shepherd literally had to be the gate that closed in so none of the sheep could get away. So the shepherd was the one that literally gave up everything for the sake of the flock. To say it another way, the shepherd was one that didn't do things for his own benefit. Didn't think about what he could get out of it, but simply always what the flock needed. Throughout the Old Testament, when the prophets are warning the leaders to be good shepherds, oftentimes that's exactly what they're calling to mind. That the leaders, for whatever reason, have chosen to do things for their own benefit rather than for the sake of God's people. So like in today's first reading from Jeremiah, he scolds them and says he will repay them for their evil deeds, but also that he'll find new shepherds. That he's going to appoint new leaders to lead his people back to God and to care for them, and I would say to love them. To love them not for what they get back, but to see how they can give the people what they need. That is the image of the shepherd that Jesus wants to evoke in today's gospel. That when he looks out over the crowd and he has compassion for them, he sees that it's his calling to be a shepherd, to be the one that can give them what they need, not for his own sake or his own benefit, but for the benefit of the sheep themselves. Because I think it can be easy in English to read today's gospel and think that Jesus saw these crowds coming and he just kind of felt bad for them. Like he saw that they didn't have any leaders, all the priests and bishops or whoever at the time weren't doing the right thing. And so poor people, they're trying their hardest and bless their heart, but they just can't do it on their own. And I don't think that's actually what St. Mark in his gospel is trying to tell us. Instead, when it says that Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, he uses a very graphic, a very visceral word. That in Greek, the word is splachnitsome. I just like to say the Greek because it sounds fun. Splachnitsome. And it literally means to be cut to the heart. It's a very physical reaction. It's where we get the word gut-wrenching from. That as Jesus sees these crowds wanting to come close to God, his Father, wanting to know this love in a new way, he sees them coming and he's moved with compassion. Not just to feel sorry for them, but I think to see the goodness and love that his Father wants to give them. Because up to this point, Jesus had been doing lots of preaching and healing, but it seemed to just be kind of when it was convenient. When he came across the demoniac in the Decapolis, he drove out the demon. When he was riding across the sea with the 12 and the storm came upon them, he calmed the storm. He raised Jairus' daughter when he healed the woman with hemorrhages. All these moments were just moments that kind of came across Jesus' lap. They just kind of showed up in his life. And he was happy to do God's will and to heal, but it doesn't seem like Jesus is really going out of his way to look for those opportunities. I think Mark is telling us that's actually what changes in this moment. When Jesus is cut to the heart, when his gut is wrenched for what the people need, he sees, I can't just wait around for these opportunities to come to me. Instead, it's now my job to be the shepherd, to be the one that goes out and looks for the lost members of the flock, to go out and gather the people of God back to my Father. That it's now my time to go and to be the shepherd. I think for Jesus, that means seeing the things that he can sacrifice and give up for them. To know that it is never about what he can receive or benefit from, but simply to see the goodness in the people around him and how he can lead them back to God. That is how he is going to be their shepherd. That is how he doesn't just feel sorry for us and wait around for us to be in kind of a big enough pickle to try to fix us. Instead, he's always looking for ways to show us his love and to lead us back to God. I think that's why it says at the end of today's gospel that after he's moved with pity for them, he began to teach them many things. We don't get from Mark exactly what Jesus teaches them. We don't hear what parable he uses or what important thing Jesus said. He also doesn't say that he said some things to the crowd. It's not like he's just trying to say something to the crowd so they'll go back home and kind of leave him and the apostles alone so they can have their moment of rest. Instead, Jesus teaches them. I think that word teach is very intentional because it shows that he's not just going to be there once, that they have to remember everything he says and put it into practice. But instead, like a good teacher, he's going to walk with them. He's going to introduce these truths of God to them, but then reintroduce them and reteach them over and over and over again. And over the coming days and weeks, he will be their shepherd. He will be the one that leads them back to the flock of God. The story immediately after this is actually Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000. We'll get that next weekend in the gospel. But before he's able to satisfy their physical hunger, he must give them a hunger for the things of God, the spiritual things that God has for us in heaven. Brothers and sisters, first and foremost, Let us thank God for the gift of his shepherding, the ways that Jesus himself provides for us and leads us back to his flock, the ways that he sees our needs and is moved with pity, not to feel sorry for us, but to see the goodness in us and how he can lead us back to perfect union with God, our Father. But I think we should also be challenged and pray that we can be shepherds like Jesus himself. But it's certainly for the priests and the bishops of the church to lead like shepherds. But I think all of us are called to be shepherds in the way that Jesus was. We can't necessarily be shepherds to everyone in the world, but to our family, our friends, and those closest to us. I think we should often be cut to the heart as Jesus was. Not to say, oh, bless your heart, you're trying so hard. But instead to be able to say, how is it that I can be a connection for you back to God our Father? How is it that I can show you the love and the mercy of Jesus so that you can know him more deeply, so that you can come back to the flock of God? How is it that I can love you, not seeking anything back for myself, but doing it completely for your benefit and your good? Brothers and sisters, that's all of our calls in the universal call to holiness. That the people we know and love, we can do so with a pure heart like Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So let us pray that we will be inspired in this Holy Mass and fed by this Holy Eucharist. That going back into our lives, we can be the shepherds that the world needs. That our hearts will be moved with genuine love and compassion for the people around us. That we can give without counting the cost. And simply seek to be the things that unite the people around us back to God our Father. That little by little, that flock of God our Father can be reunited once again through the work of all his shepherds.